The firm of Harris and Marang. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Marang.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Welcome into hour number two. If you missed any of the first hour of The Firm of Harris and Marang, you can download that at The Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com. Do we have 1051thefan.com?
I mean,
anybody know that answer?
I believe we do.
We do? 1051thefan.com?
Let's see here.
Yeah, you know, for the website? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been switched. The YouTube will be switched shortly. I am working on that.
So you can download that wherever you get your podcast, at 1051thefan.com, at 1080thefan.com.
1051thefan.com.
The Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast.
It's hot. It's live.
It's live, baby. Congratulations to everyone at the station for a successful switch this morning.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Dusty Mandalay Bay. Jason Swigard.
Yep.
Our new IT and engineering crew.
Yeah, we actually have people that do things here now.
I want to be a big boy. Mm. I want to be a real boy.
Is that where we are now? Yeah, we're a real radio station here. Shout out to Shout out to Dirt and Sprague for their extra hour of contributions that you can catch every day on the Fan Network, 105.1 the Fan FM, 1080 the Fan AM. From 6 to 10 for those guys. Shout out to everybody with the heavy lifting. Then Danny and I walk in and just screw the whole thing up.
That's how we do.
That's what we do.
That's why you got to make sure you get the Loctite on the bolts so we can't get them undone.
In a half hour, we'll debut Web Gems for you. We'll have closing arguments at 12:45 as we do every day. This time change is going to take me a minute. Just bear with me. I kind of tease this. Look, we all know that College Game Day, the show, reigns supreme.
It does.
It started to taper off a little bit, I thought, as the last years of Lou Holtz were not great.
Oh, yeah.
The last years of Lee Corso were not great.
No.
Father Time rules all. I was very, very skeptical on Pat McAfee. Was very, very wrong. Do I want to hang out with Pat McAfee? Not really.
Really?
Is he great on that show? Absolutely.
See, look, I'm not in the minority because everybody's like, oh, nobody likes McAfee. I'm like, no, you're out of your freaking
mind. Of people like McAfee.
A lot of people like McAfee. It's not.
Love him wrestling. He's great.
He's
in wrestling.
He's a character, man. Yeah. Like he understands the entertainment part of this stuff, and that's the thing that was missing was that, and him and poking Saban is just fantastic. He is a perfect foil to Nick Saban. And then you bring in Shane Gillis, who hits him with the Alabama Jones when he's wearing the hat. And you just
see, I don't like that guy either. I think I'm just an old curmudgeon.
You are.
Just a fuddy-dud.
It's
I did listen to Bella, if that tells you anything.
Look, football is football, man. And
football's football.
It's bro-y.
It is.
So be
bro. All sports are bro. Dude, I love baseball. Those guys are some of the bro-iest bros of bros.
Yes. And it's like we got.
Especially the white guys.
I'm not trying to go like, oh, it's woke. It's like, no, it's like we got away from the bro-iness of sports. And it's like, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's you got away a little bit from bro-iness of sports. And then we're shocked when bro-iness comes back in our face.
Yeah.
What? This was never bro. This has always been bro-y. Always been bro-y.
I mean, we had a show called Jacked Up on ESPN with Tom Jackson and Chris Berman saying, you got jacked up, and it's like,
yeah, that's true.
That was missing from the Home Run Derby. I mentioned that during the Derby, man. I was like, I missed back.
I also feel like he's a heavy smoker too, because he kind of sounds like me now.
Yeah,
me and Mike Leach combined.
So when I was at NBC, man, you know, a lot of the staff that we had there, the producers, the technical folks, and all people who run shows, most of them spent 8, 9, 10+ years at ESPN. Before they came out here and ran NBC. And the stories I used to hear about Boom and Jackson and Bob, like Stu Scott, you know, all those guys that were like, that made ESPN what ESPN was.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wants to be like, oh, it was because they were this and this and this. And this. Like, it's because they just were relatable.
Extremely. Professional and relatable.
Yes, but that's the thing is like, McAfee.
Watching Charlie laugh on TV was hilarious.
Yes.
We couldn't keep a straight face. Couldn't hold it together.
No, and it's like that we got so like we got pretentious about it.
Yeah.
And McAfee's not pretentious about it.
No, he's not. And that's what makes that show great, which is why I find this hilarious that the Big Noon Kickoff has gone to find their own Pat McAfee. Mm-hmm. He likes the name Pat. I don't like the name Pat. You can call him Pat. They have hired Barstool's Dave Portnoy to join the set of Herb, Maddie Leinart, Brady Quinn, Mark Ingram, and host Rob Stone. Mm. So they are clearly feeding, trying to see what worked for somebody else and go for that.
Remember, ESPN tried to do the Barstool thing, and they went out of it, what was it, 2 weeks later?
Yeah.
And then they ended up going McAfee 2 years later. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, because they actually wanted to do a political thing.
I know.
That was a political thing.
I've seen an interview with the Barstool guys saying that when they got to ESPN, everybody had this great idea and thought it was really going to go well. And 2 weeks in, they all looked at each other and were like, the Barstool guys too, they were like, this is not working.
Because they weren't going to allow them to be them.
Yeah, this is not going to work.
And then ESPN, they changed management, as it were. And they brought in McAfee, and McAfee was like, no, you're not going to do to them what you did to me. I'm going to come on here. I'm going to drop an F-bomb every now and then, and you're going to pay me $11 billion, and we're going to make this thing work.
Dude, and he's so great. This intrigues me. Does it get you to watch the Big Noon Kickoff instead of game day?
No, but here's the thing. I am not...
I don't know how I watch college football in the morning without seeing Reese Davis.
Yeah, here's the thing. I am not a quote-unquote Barstool guy. You can say, Portnoy's an a-hole, all those kind of things. They're all true. But you can't tell me he's not successful. You can't tell me he doesn't have a massive brand. You can't tell me that he doesn't have a massive appeal. You can be like, well, that just says what's wrong with this guy. Just shut up. It's football. Go out there and have fun, man. Like, am I going to watch it, like, just to see what it looks like? Yeah, I will.
This is a note that Danny's views are not also my views or Jeff Russ views or 105.1 The Fan's views.
But it's just like... It is what it is, man. Like,
yeah.
If it's not for you, don't watch it.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about this in the break. I actually low-key just realized, is Reggie Bush not on the Big Noon Kickoff anymore?
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. And I was like, I actually thought Reggie was really good, especially with Leinart.
And that's what we talked about in the break. I love Reggie and Matt Leinart. Those teams were so fun, so likable. So talented.
It's
so controversial.
It's probably one of the most likable powerhouses ever.
Why college players are getting paid.
Yes, but it was like, it was a really, really cool thing when, the stuff got rolled back on Reggie and Fox came down and did a broadcast with Reggie in the stands at the Coliseum.
That's awesome.
They did the broadcast right there in the corner of the end zone. And when the game was over, USC went over there, got on the ladder, sang the fight song with Reggie, standing right there, two fingers up, and it was dope as hell.
I have Matt Leinart with a two and a sword in one hand, like ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
I liked those two together.
But I thought Reggie was good. Him not being a part of this, like Mark Ingram being on there, I'm like, all right, like it's fine. I guess you...
But it's so tit for tat, though. Rob Stone... Reese Davis. I like Rob Stone a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I like Rob Stone a lot. Former Portland guy, Rob Stone.
We have models for everything in media. There's a reason why we do things the way that we do things, the way things are structured, because there's things that work and things
Saban,
that don't.
Saban, Urban Meyer, Portnoy, McAfee.
Yeah, it's like, it makes sense.
Brady Quinn, Desmond Howard. Sorry, not the same. One guy has a trophy.
One of them's also a lot more likable than the other.
Ooh. Do we have time? We do have time. One is more likable than the other.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, I know you're busy over there, but I'm going to bring you into this. Uh-oh. One is more likable than the other, according to Danny Meringue. We are talking about Brady Quinn and Desmond Howard. Here's the question. Who does Danny like more?
It's very easy.
Do you already know this answer?
No, I don't. From working with Desmond Howard.
I think you like Brady Quinn more.
Jeff Russ is right.
Oh, he went to Notre Dame.
Ding, 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 ding. Not only that, I have heard some god-awful stories.
I like Chris Peterson on TV, even though he coached at the Huskies.
Well, I was just guessing also off of his god-awful radio show that he's on with LeVar Arrington.
Look, that show is rough.
No.
As a fill-in for Colin, trust me.
Yeah. No, Peterson's great.
Gun.
See, I don't think of Peterson as a Husky. He's Boise State through and through in my head.
Dude, he went to a natty.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
a college football playoff.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when I think of Chris Peterson, I think of Boise State. I just, like, yeah, he is synonymous. Fair.
I think of after the hook and ladder worked. Yeah, like,
it's like, you know, Pete Carroll being with the Raiders now is awesome, but he's USC in my head.
Always. Forever. I don't care. Like, he went to two Super Bowls in Seattle. That man is,
no.
That man's with co-eds at Ventura Beach, yeah, dude. That's how I think of Pete Carroll. He's a Trojan
through and through.
He looks the same, too.
And it wasn't like he was there for decades. Like, he was only there for a little while. Like, but like when you're synonymous somewhere, that's just something I think it's kind of comes through. But no, I will flip on Big Noon Kickoff just to kind of see what the vibe is, what the jam is. Like, because sometimes game day will go to a game that I just do not care about.
That's true.
They'll go to a campus.
Everybody's got their rights, and so you don't quite know what to do.
But I will flip on Big Nooner just to kind of see what it is.
Are we ready for college football, guys? 503-864-6326. The YouTube chat at 1080 AM. The Fan on YouTube. Also 105.1 FM. Is where you can listen to this stupid show every day, The Firm of Harris and Meringue. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the old man. I want to talk about the old man. He's coming back today. We'll do that next, The Firm of Harris and Meringue. Just going to let this ride for a moment.
Yeah.
R.I.P. to the legend. Breaking news here on 105.1 The Fan. Ozzy Osbourne dead, age 76 years old.
Yeah, this is...
This probably hits you a little harder than
this
me.
This one's kind of nuts, man.
Well, I mean, it's not.
I mean, it
don't make me do this again.
No,
it's not that nuts.
The guy did a show, part of a 10-hour festival 2 weeks ago.
I also know that he's been dying for 5 years.
But, I mean, that's crazy that 2 weeks ago that they had Black Sabbath up there with Metallica.
It is
Pantera.
Pretty cool.
Like, for those that didn't know, the Back to the Beginning show in Birmingham, England, 2 weeks ago, go watch it.
I didn't watch it. Was it good?
It's crazy. Like, Ozzy, so those of them know, Ozzy just passed away. He had Parkinson's. And he got out there and sounded like Ozzy.
That's so crazy.
I don't know if they gave him some kind of cocktail to, like, hey, man, this is how you're going to go out kind of deal.
You can have this cocktail, but in 48 hours, you will be dead.
But, I mean, you had Slayer, you had Pantera, you had Metallica. Like, it was Tool. Tool had their first live show in, like, 20 years.
I think I was afraid to watch it because I was afraid of it being really bad.
No, and it wasn't.
And, like being scared that my last impression of Ozzy was going to be that.
He just did an interview a couple days ago saying, like, I'm dying. I know I'm dying. And but I didn't think, like, I'm dying in the sense of I'm dying tomorrow.
Speaking of dying.
Yeah, speaking of die jobs. Ryan Day over your shoulder.
Ozzy's always been an interesting one for me. You know, I don't live in the metal genre. So of all the Black Sabbath stuff, I like the early stuff, you know, because it's a little more like rocky, classic rocky.
Sure. Like I was raised on Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Van Halen. Like that's what I grew up with.
But I always give Ozzy a lot of credit when I brag about how much I love Paul McCartney. Mm. I know Paul McCartney and Ozzy Osbourne don't seem synonymous with each other. And it's because Paul McCartney wrote a song called Helter Skelter. It is on the White Album in 1968. And Ozzy has talked about at length that the first time he ever heard that song, he said, that's the kind of music I want to make.
Mm.
And built a brand, built a genre off that. And man was great. I almost forgot that he had a bad reality TV show.
Yeah, the Osbournes.
That show was pretty big for a while.
Oh, dude, I mean, that was like the first family of reality TV.
Like, were they famous people that were now reality TV stars?
Yeah, I mean, that show, you know, preempts the Kardashians and all that kind of stuff. Like, they were the first, like, full access family, and we saw how just completely dysfunctional that family. The daughter checked herself into rehab in Newburgh.
Oh.
There's that, like, super hoity-toity, like, $20,000 a week rehab clinic that up here in Newburgh that the stars from Hollywood checked themselves into.
And Jack was like the cool fat kid, and now he's like wicked skinny.
I had friends who used to tell me they'd see Sharon Osbourne at the grocery store.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, in Newburgh. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're gonna stand out in freaking Newburgh, man. It's gonna happen.
I don't. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. She's crazy too.
I mean, it's not Gresham, so you're not just used to seeing like tweaker meth heads everywhere.
Crackheads everywhere.
Yeah. So.
Are you saying the Osbournes look like crackheads?
Yeah. I mean, they'd blend in Gresham, and you wouldn't bat an eye.
Are you saying they look like crackheads? You know.
They may or may not be like a semi-permanent residents of Port Angeles.
What's your favorite Ozzy song, Black Sabbath or Ozzy?
I mean, Crazy Train's definitely up there. Iron Man is like the first like real song I remember, just like as a kid, mm-hmm. just how different it sounded.
Iron Man.
And it just the simplicity of the riff. War Pigs is that's probably my favorite of all time. Like that's a banger.
You're gonna hate this. When I saw Temple of the Dog, they did War Pigs.
No, it's probably one of the more covered like metal songs.
Really?
Yeah. What's his name? T-Pain did a cover.
Stop.
Yeah,
that sounds fantastic.
He did like an unplugged like acoustic cover of it, and Ozzy called it the best cover he's ever heard of the song.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I'm a big Paranoid guy. I love that guitar riff.
Yeah.
It every time I hear it, I think of Dazed and Confused.
Yeah.
The movie.
Yep. Be a lot cooler if you did.
I feel like a car, like wheels showing up. And
100%. No, I mean, Ozzy's influence on rock and metal is damn near unmatched.
I mean, he built a genre, basically. I mean, I've got a ton of friends. It's so funny. I have so many friends that are in the music biz that all play metal. And I don't really care for it, but they're like some of my closest friends. I'm sure this will hit them real hard. Or in classic metal fashion, I'll be like, whatever, dude. That guy hasn't made good music in 30 years. It's probably what they'll say. You know, I don't want to be cool.
It is what it is. Somebody said they saw Tool live in 2021. I should say the live recording as far as like being on camera. That's the first time like 20 years that Tool's done that.
I saw Tool in 2006. They were the first show I ever saw at the Gorge Amphitheater.
Oh, that's the first show I ever saw there was Foo Fighters and Chili Peppers.
They had these big tiles on the stage that had lights under them, and they went off in accordance with the songs.
Let me tell you right now, it's no Backstreet Boys at the Sphere.
I'd rather see the Backstreet Boys at the Sphere.
Look,
the Tool at the Gorge. No, Tool at the Gorge show is pretty good. I'm not even a big Tool fan. No, that show was great.
No, they're. I mean, whether it's Carrie on the drums or Maynard singing like that music talent. You were hard pressed to find a more talented band than Tool.
First show I saw at the Gorge was that it was the Horde Festival. Rusted Root, Lenny Kravitz, Dave Matthews, and Blues Traveler.
So sick, dude. The Horde Festival. I would die to go back in time and go to a Horde Festival.
It was a good one.
We turned
Too
Ortner
bad I
was
on like to eight.
We turned Ortner on to some Blues Traveler.
Did we?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Did you give him Hook and Run Around?
I gave him Hook. I'm like, start with Hook.
He was minus 10 when those songs came out. Minus 10 years old.
Oh yeah, when it came out, yeah.
He was minus 10 years old.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I was like, yeah, no, go check, because somebody said something about John Popper, and he's like, who's John Popper?
One of the greatest harmonica players of all time.
I mean, the clip of him doing the live
show.
Also,
he loves guns!
The live
show. He loves lots of guns!
On MTV, when he like just wails on the harmonica and then goes right back into singing, and I'm like, that right there is a man.
Yeah, and he's lost a ton of weight, and he loves guns!
Isn't Popper dead?
No, I don't think John Popper's not dead. Don't do this to me. No, he's not dead. John Popper is alive and well.
Is he?
Alive and well. Yeah. Yeah, see right here. He is alive.
He is alive. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, John Popper's alive. Okay. And he loves guns.
All right.
I went to the Deltron 3030 show last night at Rev Hall.
You're just speaking gibberish to me.
You don't know Del the Funky Homo Sapien?
Definitely not.
Oh. Russ, you got a Deltron in your life?
I'm sorry, I was missing that there. I was talking with Mr. Anderson.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. Yes. Deltron 3030, Del the Funky Homo Sapien?
That sounds like something you put on your brakes.
I got nothing.
It was an excellent, excellent show at Rev Hall. It's so fun to go to hip hop shows in Portland, and it's all white people.
Oh yeah. I got talked into going to a Tech N9ne show like 15 years ago.
I heard somebody next to me be like, dude, Damian Lillard's back in town. Do you think Damian Lillard's here tonight? I was like, that guy's cute.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. He'll go to some shows.
I'll bet you Dame likes Deltron, though. Yeah. I'll bet you Dame likes Del.
I mean, when E-40 comes to town, it was funny. We were down in Vegas. There was a poster up with E-40, Too Short, and somebody else. And we were all like, oh, it was one of the nights the Blazers were playing. I'm like, ah, damn it, I can't go. Because we were very, very, very much entertaining the possibility of going to that show.
E-40?
E-40, Too Short, and somebody else.
Hell yeah. I've seen Too Short in a basement of a bar in Pullman, Washington. Yeah. When Blow the Whistle came out, they played that song twice.
Yeah. I mean, Ying Yang Twins are out here touring right now.
Dude, I've seen the Ying Yang Twins in Pullman, too.
They did a show at the Sacramento Kings halftime, and one of them was in a knee brace. I was like, yo, y'all are broke. Y'all are just trying to do this. But that coming back to Ozzy, like him doing this show 2 weeks before he dies is nuts.
It's crazy. I mean, they got him ready for it.
They had to have like just given him everything.
Yeah.
Like,
why not?
Because they probably had a pretty good understanding that stuff was failing.
Like Brett Favre is jealous kind of thing.
Yeah. Like we're going to give you this cocktail. You're going to be able to do this show. But after this,
it's over.
What this is going to do to your body, it's going to start shutting everything down. But I mean, like, for him to go out and do that interview and be like, I'm dying. Like, not, you know, I'm fighting this. It's like, I know it's like, there was an acceptance of, like, time is drawing near very quickly.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe I'm waxing a little too poetic about it, but it feels like if I was a rock star that had spanned basically 50 years. That's how I'd want to go out.
Yeah.
One more time.
One more time.
Out there with other legends, with
one
Metallica.
One more time.
Yeah. With Metallica, with Pantera, just like go out there.
Having
with
the boys.
Tool, like just have rock legend after rock legend.
Who
out
are
there.
Looking at you as a god.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about it was all the proceeds from the concert went to the Children's Hospital and Cure Parkinson's.
That's cool.
It's honestly the first time we've had a super show like this that had so much reach since what was the Queen show that they did at Wembley?
Live Aid?
Yeah, Live Aid. Yeah. This is the biggest kind of show they've had like this really since then there.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
RIP to Ozzy Osbourne. When we come back, we debut Web Gems that we'll do every single day at 11:30, but first we'll toss it over to the big kahuna with sports.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
Welcome to Web Gems. We'll do this every single day at 11:30. It is me talking about baseball for 15 minutes every single day.
Abso-friggin-lutely not.
I forgot to tell you, Danny, that we made an executive decision, and by we, I meant me, and we have decided that this is just baseball for 15 minutes every day.
That's what you'd want.
I don't know if I want, you know?
Yo, you 100% want it. You said it the other day. You're like,
that was just on Tuesdays, though.
What if we just spent like 15 minutes every week talking about baseball?
Just one day a week.
And I was like,
I asked for one day a week.
I was like, no, we can't.
I asked for one day a week.
We can't. We can talk baseball when it matters.
Dude, when I go home and I watch baseball all night, I feel like I'm cheating. I feel like I'm cheating on my wife. I'm like sitting in bed. I'm like starting to type some show prep stuff. You know, I'm thinking about, what do we talk about? I'm flipping around websites and reading interviews and stuff like that. And then I got baseball on and I'm just like, oh, you dirty little girl.
Daddy. Bunt for me.
I did. The other morning I woke up and watched 4 minutes of Ichiro bunting.
You did. You told me. You're like, I said something about Ichiro. You're like, I watched 4 minutes of bunt highlights.
It was so good. His bunts were so amazing. Yeah, that's where I am now. I'll tell you what, waking up
I can't say anything because I sit here and watch Summer League pick and roll. Like,
yeah, because we all got our nerd
look,
stuff.
Dude, when I say I watched like literally a couple dozen hours of Young Hanson tape,
yeah,
I did. I watched all of his U18, all of his U19, and all of his CBA
man.
Footage.
I watch bad sci-fi movies and I watch bad Westerns because it's just what I like.
Look, I am a very easy man to please when it comes to like movies, like the FX running Marvel movie. If there's nothing else like that I have to watch on, I'm just going to put something on in the background. Whatever Marvel movie is running, click, turning it on. It's just, look, I am a simple, simple man. It works for me.
You know, it's funny. I did The Hot Corner for 10 years, mm-hmm. all right? I love that show. I deeply miss it. My good, good, good friend, Joe Fisher III. And that show got so easy to do after a while because I watched so much baseball that it was like, it didn't even really have to prep for it. Going back to being a baseball fan on my own terms now is quite relieving. If that makes any sense.
Sure.
It's not that The Hot Corner was some like big burden on me that I had to watch baseball a certain way and I could only look, but like, I'm no longer looking for stories. I'm just watching baseball and it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome.
You're just watching it for the fun of it.
I'm watching it because I love baseball.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. And there are days when I go, you know what? Yesterday, I did not watch baseball. Mm. I did not watch a single pitch of baseball.
Really?
Really.
Oh, that's why you're hungover. It's withdrawals.
Oh, I watched zero baseball yesterday. Yeah. And guess what? That's okay.
Patty needs his baseball.
Is today Tuesday?
Yeah.
Is today Tuesday?
Yeah.
The Hot Corner will be hosed tonight. Because I have no idea what's going on. Because I'm going to watch baseball tonight, though.
Little things.
Web Gems is our new segment we'll do every single day at 11:30. And, you know, a little similar to your worst day on the web, but I think that we're just carving out a spot for things that I find great. I found this morning as I was doing my my B1G prep, and, you know, Brandman did not find this amusing.
You really wanted to push this over and over and over.
Because I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. On October 11th, according to the B1G.org, their football schedule, Indiana will be at Oregon in Eugene at Autzen Stadium for a 5 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time kickoff time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little early for football.
I am here for it. They're going to go up against Purdue and Minnesota. They're also at 5 a.m. I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine whoever uploaded this didn't use the old military time.
But here's the crazy thing, though, because right above it, the Friday night game, Rutgers at UW, 6 p.m.
Yeah, I think whoever did this meant to put in p.m. and didn't put it in right.
Which leaves me thinking, how awesome would this be? USC at Notre Dame, 4:30 a.m.
South Bend. If you're in Hawaii, this is your weekly life.
Oh, dude. I hate that so much.
West Coast time is fantastic. Hawaii / Australia. So Sam Vecenie, who writes for The Athletic, covers the NBA and draft college basketball and stuff like that. Sam, it's so funny talking to him. He legitimately covers basketball on a 9-to-5 basis. Because in Australia, he wakes up at 8 o'clock in the morning and starts watching live games.
Oh.
Because he lives in Australia.
Yeah.
And so like he works like a 9-to-5 watching games
live
in the
sports.
U.S. And then when he's done, he has his
his local stuff.
Well, he can just do whatever.
Yeah, because it's not till the next day.
He's like,
dude,
he's like, I will never come back to the States permanently.
Is,
he's like, there's just no reason for me to come back. It is phenomenal.
That is high key, great life values.
Right? Like,
yes.
Look, people are joking about, you know, the time switch for me doing this show now. There's like, during the season, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see it on my face.
Brandon was in here as we were doing the pit stop change, and he goes, I mean, dude, 10-1, that's a great slot.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you got to be happy about that. I was like, I'm over the moon. Like, professionally, I love it.
Yeah.
And he goes, personally, and Danny goes, absolutely terrible. And I go, also, absolutely love it. 10-1 is so great for me. Well, it's forcing me now to get up a little earlier, which I need to do in general, which is going to force me to drink a little less, which I need to do in general.
Well, Sprague hit me with what do you mean? And he just remembered, oh, that's right, game nights. He's like, oh, that's right, you don't get home until like 1 in the morning.
I'm
dude. Yeah, dog, it's going to be tough.
R.I.P. Danny.
Like, it's going to be, I'm going to leave the house at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning and not get home until 1 o'clock in the morning on game days.
Rutgers at Purdue on October 25th at 9:01 a.m.
I mean,
it says 9:01.
That's not totally. So somebody just dropped the ball on this.
Oregon at Iowa, 4 a.m. in Iowa City.
Oh, God.
Dude,
playing that team, like getting your teeth kicked in at 4 o'clock in the morning, you usually got to pay extra for that.
USC at Autzen, 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
God.
I would love to go to a 4 a.m. game. Oregon at UW at Husky Stadium, 4 a.m. November 29th. I'm not making this up. It's what the website says.
It is. It's just
also
not...
some of them say Pacific Standard Time and some of them say Pacific Daylight Time.
Yeah, it is a little like that's what I mean. Somebody's
dropped the ball.
That changes in what, October? Early November?
Yeah, can we get into that already?
Dude, I'm actually on with you. I'm with you on that. I think it all harkens back because when game day was at Wazoo, I went to that, you know. Funny enough, I was in Oregon UW the week before. I went to the game with some coworkers, and I got a great picture of me and the brand man at that weekend because I ran into him. And that game gets over. Overtime. Ducks win. And we're partying on the streets of Eugene, you know, hanging with the kids and getting loose, having some bevvies.
Don't do that again.
And then my buddy texts me and he goes, dude, it's happening. And I go, what? And then he sends me Reese Davis's Twitter. And Reese Davis says, pack your bags. We're going to Pullman.
Yeah.
And we party. I partied so hard that night just because I was excited. Anyway, so we get to Pullman for game day. And
it starts at like 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, because it starts at 9 East Coast time.
So it starts at 6. But I mean, like, those guys are out
early. Yeah, they're there. So we went to the bar till 2:30 and then walked the 6 blocks over to where game day was.
Stumbled the six blocks,
picked up a rack on the way over. And
were you guys just like eating Cougar Gold like by the slice?
We're just like eating cold pizza and drinking beer in this lawn waiting for game day. Game day starts and it's pitch blackout. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that's kickoff? I'm kind of in for that, dude.
I mean,
now I'm asleep in the third quarter, but I'm way into that.
It depends on like where you go. Like if you're in Pullman, if you're in Morgantown, West Virginia, like if you're in small college town, like where like it matters, you could probably pull it off.
I know you could.
But like,
who would be willing to do it though?
Yeah, nobody.
Belichick?
No, nobody. God, no. That creature of habit? Absolutely not.
Oregon at UW. It'd have to be something like that.
No.
It'd have to.
It has to be like Maction. It has to be Maction. Like that's where you can get weird.
Cal Stanford?
Nah, that's
Cal Stanford?
No, it's too hoity-toity. You could have gone in the OG Pac-10, Pac-12, like Pac-12 after dark, but it was like Pac-12 after dark. Like that you could have gone away with.
Pac-12 for breakfast?
Yeah. But I think if you were actually going to pull this off, it had to be Maction. It has to be just unhinged football. Just
4 a.m. on a Tuesday?
Just completely just, what the hell is this?
The Mac would be so pissed. They're like, dude, we already play on Tuesday at 7 o'clock to nobody on ESPN 5. Now I got to do it at 4 in the morning?
You know who could pull it off? The academies.
Oh, they could. Totally.
Because, like, so we were at Army-Navy,
4 a.m.?
We were at Army-Navy.
Army-Navy, 4 a.m.?
So they bust the cadets in. And so Dusty and I are in the building. I want to say it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. And the game doesn't kick off until 3:30, 4. Like, we went through all the festivities. But the cadets, like, they come down from West Point. They come down from Annapolis in a bus. But they come down dressed in their dress uniforms. Mm. And they get there at like 2 in the morning. And they're literally under the stadium laying on sleeping bags. until it was like time to like actually go. So like they're driving.
So they're used to it anyway. So they get up and go whenever they tell you to.
Look, if you want to talk about the level of insane athlete in college sports, there is no more insane athlete than academy athletes. Because not only are you used to getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and doing what's necessary for their military academy preparation stuff, they're getting up. Those guys are getting up at 3:30 to go to the gym and do their workouts and do their pre-day practice and walkthroughs and all that kind of stuff, and then go do the things that are required of them as cadets, as seamen, to go be future officers in the military.
What did he just say?
Oh yeah, seamen, the midshipmen. But then they get out of school. Now you got to pay extra for that.
Don't forget he's a U.S. seaman.
Yeah, it's true. But also an airman. But then they get out of school. And then they go practice again.
Yeah.
Like the life of an athlete at an academy is the most deranged thing in college sports.
Yeah, so let's get Army Navy 4 a.m. I'm here for it.
I mean, the cadets would probably love it because they're up anyways.
I'm super here for it. Just anybody do it, please.
You know what? Someone else brought this up on the text line. Didn't college basketball start with 24 hours?
They did,
games?
Yeah, a couple times they did that, yeah.
You do have the midnight tip-offs.
Yeah.
The Duke, Kentucky, like they have like their it's like a scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
But like those are really cool. And then you get like the teams that'll fly to like Maui and Atlantis and what was the one game that was played on the aircraft carrier? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a bunch of basketball games. I feel like Izzo's usually involved
yeah.
in that.
Yeah. And it's usually
or Roy Will when he was at North Carolina.
Or Krzyzewski because
yeah,
you know, West
the Army, yeah.
Yeah. So like basketball is probably easier to pull off because
Well, it's a two-hour game, and you're not like...
Not only that, the rhyme and rhythm of sleep is like, it's different.
And you're not running as fast as you can to hit somebody.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, let's talk about old people. I like old people. This is The Firm with Harrison Marang on 105.1 FM, The Fan!
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get back into some Big Ten stuff. Ryan Day just spoke. ESPN has Ohio State predicted to win the B1G. I thought it was supposed to be Penn State, so we'll get to all that. Plus, we'll chat some Damian Lillard to come home. Dame's press conference yesterday, as Danny Morang did attend that, and we'll probably play a little bit of audio. We'll see what we got in the old files. And we'll sit here and wax poetically about Damian Lillard for another half hour because, you know what, Danny? A show and a third of waxing about Damian Lillard is just not enough. It's just not enough. The people want more.
Mm.
They want more.
That's how it goes.
He's a great dude.
He is.
Happy to have him. So that's what we'll get to in the final hour. I found a way to sneak it in. You guys want to talk about some baseball?
No.
What about old people?
No. Nah. Okay.
Old people?
Where are we going?
Rich Hill is going to start tonight for the Kansas City Royals against the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, that's nuts. How many teams now?
I don't know.
Is it 20?
Russ was talking about it the other day. Let me look him up real quick.
Was Russ, did we break 20 teams for Rich Hill? Is it 21?
He is 45 years old.
I know this will be his 21st season.
Damn. Oh, that's what it was. It was 21st
he started
season.
In 2005. Let's see. Cubs, Orioles, Red Sox, Cleveland, Angels, Yankees, back to the Red Sox, Oakland, Dodgers, Twins, Rays, Mets, back to the Red Sox, Pirates, Padres, back to the Red Sox, and now the Royals. That is 14 teams. He's been half the league.
I mean,
he's played for half the league.
It's a crazy number of teams, and now thinking about the years, like he's basically been in the league longer than almost everyone that was drafted in the NBA draft a month ago.
Yep,
like that's nuts.
Yep.
When you start thinking about it in that context, you know what's been more and more frustrating is every year, like social media managers at like every college and then like for every rookie in professional sports is like, how old is old or like what is unk now? And everybody's like, oh, if you're born before 2000. And I'm like, 2000? Dog!
That's a
what?
Shot.
Somebody's
that's
like,
a shot to the chest.
Somebody's
right
like,
there.
If it starts with 19, you're old.
Oh, like, no. This t-shirt that I'm wearing today, all the more relevant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It says, please be patient with me. I was born in the 1900s.
When we get older.
The late 1900s, people are calling it now when they talk about the 90s and the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, like.
The late 1900s.
It, smush you.
It's not like we're the first generation to ever go
I will
through
punch
this.
You.
But it's like. We're the first generation with like media. Like when we get older, like in the next 20 years, we're getting into our 60s. It will be kind of nuts to think about when we have significantly more years in the 2000s.
Think about this.
Than we do in the 1900s.
When I am 65,
mm-hmm.
there is a very good chance that the president of the United States of America was not alive for 9/11.
No, I don't think we're going to go that far yet.
Really? Because if you were born in 2002, that makes you 24,
yeah, but
23.
Most of our presidents have been in their 60s and 70s.
I understand, but I also understand that people really don't want that anymore.
Yeah, well, it would be nice to get away from that.
I think people don't like that.
It would be super cool to get away from that.
I think people are over that no matter what side you live on.
At least away from the octogenarians.
Yeah, I would like to avoid that.
If I got photos of your ankles swelling, you're too old to be the president.
Whoa, okay, easy. Easy on the swollen ankles.
I thought you were going to tell me to be easy on your Papa T.
No.
Hey, don't you talk about Papa T that way.
No. I'm talking about swollen ankles, man. Post-hip surgery, I was in here with my ankles the size of a freaking Gatorade
bottle. Not because you're dying, though. Yeah.
Well, you can make an argument there.
All right, we digress. Yeah. Rich Hill, I mean, this isn't going to go well tonight. The Cubs have one of the best offenses in baseball.
I mean, this is Jamie Moyer coming back.
Matthew Boyd is pitching very, very well this year. He was an all-star. How bad do you have to be to get a 45-year-old up? Pull that, I guess.
We're going to need that one.
How bad do you have to be? I can't even say it anymore.
Yeah,
we'll have to check the tape on that.
That one's pretty good.
The Royals have been massively disappointing, and for them to bring in Rich Hill is kind of a red flag for me. This isn't like bringing in Tom Brady, you know? This isn't a 42-year-old Tom Brady. This isn't a 40-year-old LeBron James.
No.
This is a 45-year-old Rich Hill.
Yeah, I mean, Clayton Kershaw.
Who has never led a category in his entire career. He does have a career 4.01 ERA, which I was impressed
That's
by.
That's not bad.
I was very much impressed by
that. But like Kershaw during the All-Star game, like, I'm going to hit him with the cheese.
I'm going to hit him with the cheese.
He's like, did I hit 91? Did I hit 91? It was 89. It's like...
Dude, then he threw a 72 mile an hour curveball.
And it broke 6 feet.
Oh, it was so sexy.
It was just like, oh God, you still got that in the old bag.
So sexy.
But like, it's fun. I kind of liken it to Jamie Moyer. Like Jamie Moyer was just out there, he wasn't throwing gas. He was just pitching. And we just have so few pitchers in baseball anymore. Like everyone's like, oh yeah, you need the velocity, you need the break, and all those kind of things. But like, so many pitchers for so long got by on being good pitchers and good sequencers and good placement. Like, is Rich Hill going to go out there and probably get shelled by that Cubs lineup? Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Am I probably going to tune in to see if the old man can get a few outs? Yeah, I think it's kind of cool.
Without talking about dudes that played before 1930, I mean, Satchel Paige once pitched a game at 59 years old.
Good God.
Because the Kansas City A's let him.
I mean.
Not because he was, like, actually in the league. You know, like, mini Minoso's on this list. Like, okay, 56.
How old was Clemens when he left?
42, I think. Say, yeah. I mean, he kind of got disgraced out of the league. That was a little bit of that.
But, I mean, he could have probably kept going.
Jamie Moyer last pitched at 49 years old.
Good God.
Julio Franco was 49. Jamie was older.
But Bartolo.
Nolan Ryan when he finally hung it
up. Oh, yeah.
Phil Niekro hung it up at 48. Nolan Ryan at 46.
I was say 46.
Damn.
Yeah. Bartolo was up there, wasn't he?
I'm looking. I'm not there. Randy Johnson at 46.
And he was still throwing gas, even at the end.
Carlton Fisk at 45. Omar Vizquel at 45. Ichiro Suzuki at 45. Pete Rose, 45. Bartolo Colon, 45. Wakefield, 45. Clemens, 45. Looks like 45 is... There's Gaylord Perry down there. Yeah, looks like 45 is kind of the cut to be on this list. Well, good luck to Rich Hill tonight. I hope you do great. For Rops Royals, I know Rop will have it on the TV. What time's the game today? I just had it, and it's gone.
It's gone.
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. I don't know if that's my time or their time. We'll find out. We come back. We'll get back into Big Ten Media Days and what the Big Ten future lies in store. That's Danny Morang. I'm Patrick Harris. This is The Firm of Harrison Morang on 105.1 FM, The Fan. How bad do you have to be to get a 45-year-old up?